see everyone here again tonight, a good number with us, and we are privileged to be able to end the day as we began today, worship to the Lord. Had a good meeting at Coopertown this afternoon regarding Vacation Bible School. They're not able to attend that or be with us after service this morning. Tell Mike that if you're interested in helping Vacation Bible School in any way, any part of that, just say, this is what I'd like to do, the way I'd like to help, and we'll find a way for you to do that. Need all the helpers we can get, and had a great year with it last year, and I know we'll have another good year on June 30th this year for our children. So remember that this evening. But let's go to our Father for a word of prayer before our lesson. Lord, we're thankful for the rain that we've had this afternoon. We're thankful for the changing season in which we can marvel at your creation. We can see your handiwork. We can see your creativity. We marvel at the things around us, and your word tells us that this is the evidence that you exist. This is your fingerprint. This is your identity in the world that you've made. And your power, your divine nature are seen in the things which are made. And we know this. We know that you have created this world with a perfect living environment for us to enjoy. We know your Son came to this earth and gave us a life more abundant, not just the simple living of this world, but spiritual blessings and benefits that we have that we have as Christians. We have a church family that loves us and cares for us, that we can worship with and serve with, and we're thankful for that blessing. We're thankful for the blessing of prayer and that you hear our prayers and answer according to your will. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have in this life to see things from a different perspective and know that we can live by faith and walk in the light. And as we do that, that you forgive us. The ultimate blessing of being a Christian is that we're not dead in our sins, but we're alive. And we'll stand before you one day having being clean and being able to enter the joys of heaven. Bless us tonight as we open your word and study. May all that we say and do be to your glory. Continue to give us mercy and grace. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Been talking about some lost virtues the last several Sunday nights. Some things that you don't hear much about in culture today that used to be discussed. Things that used to be on the lips of anyone and everyone, but some things have kind of gone away. We talked about temperance, talked about moderation. We live on the extremes today, so we talked about that a few weeks ago. We talked about having spiritual courage, and the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear comes from somewhere else. That God gives us a love and power in this word, discipline. We also we talked about accountability last week and how accountability is not something you hear much about, but you open the Bible and you see that accountability is all over the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that we are accountable for ourselves and what we say and what we do. Jesus talked about that and talked about an account that we'll give on Judgment Day. So tonight we are moving forward in our discussion of these lost virtues and talking about discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we'll be looking this evening. A few verses from Hebrews chapter 12, probably the most extensive discussion of discipline. And what it is the discipline God gives His children as we mature in our faith. And what that is all about. Beginning in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 12. For you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Remember in high school, basketball coach, we had a good pastor in practice. Was manager there for 8th grade through 12th grade. And he'd get angry during practice, something wasn't going right. The players were playing hard and all those types of things the coaches say. And he would just blow the whistle, say, on the line. And that meant stand on the baseline and we're going to start running. And so you don't want to hear him say on the line, you know. And after running a few suicides and all those types of things, you don't want to hear him say again and again and again. A few times he would say, you're going to run until I get tired. And all those types of things, you don't want to hear that. But you know why he was doing it. The players knew why he was doing it. They didn't like it. They didn't want to go through those things. It's Tom Landry, the famous coach of the Dallas Cowboys for so many years, says the job of a coach is to make players do what they don't want to do in order for them to achieve what they want. Every player wants to win a championship. Every player wants to achieve and be the best and all those types of things. And a coach should say, okay, well, to have that, then I'm going to have to make you do things you don't want to do. By yourself, you're not going to run as much as I'm going to make you run. By yourself, you're not going to watch film and scout the other team like I'm going to make you do. You're not going to do a lot of things on your own. My job as a coach is to be here to get you to do things you don't want to do so you can achieve the things that you want. And this all relates to our lives as Christians. Spiritual growth requires discipline. Left to ourselves, left on an island, left to do things the way we want to do things, our fleshly desires would take over. And we would do the works of the flesh. That it talks about in Galatians chapter 5. We would be spiritual infants. We would know a little bit about Jesus, maybe obey the gospel, become Christians, and then what would be we would likely do is fall back into sin, fall back into fleshly desires, fall back into the standards of the world, and so forth. And so Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, and other places tell us, that God disciplines us. That things happen in life, what we do in life, it makes us grow up, it thickens our skin, it makes us improve. James chapter 1 tells us that. James chapter 1 said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, we don't look at trials that way. James says, wait a minute. He said, it's joy, not because it's fun to go through, not because you enjoy crying, not because you enjoy pain, not because you enjoy the process. He said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, that you're stronger for having gone through a trial, stronger for having, in James's world at the time, and the persecution that they were facing. Now, every good thing in life requires discipline. Every person that you know who is good at what they do is a disciplined person. They were either disciplined as a child in learning how to do what they do. They're disciplined now. There's discipline somewhere in their life. You know, when people are unhealthy, they don't have really a health problem necessarily. That's a symptom. If you want to be healthy, what you need more of is discipline. It's to exercise, to take the time of the day to say, I'm going to exercise. It's to be able to look at a meal and say, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat this. And do all those types of things that you have to do. It's don't have a unhealthy problem, a body problem, all that. It's a discipline problem. Being able to say no to certain things, say yes to other things in order to be healthy. We also have people don't have really financial problems. You say, well, I've got a financial problem. He said, I have all this debt in my life. I've got financial issues. Well, no, well, the problem is there's a discipline problem. There was a time where you didn't say no to things you should have said no to financially. There's a time you should have said yes to maybe saving more money and having a budget and planning your finances more. That's really the issue. The symptom of not being disciplined in finances is an overwhelming amount of debt. Finding yourself in a situation where, how did I get here? And getting the discipline then, of course we know, is a lot harder in that moment than it would have been in the beginning. Raising children, disciplining children. That, ask any parents, it was that easy to do. Do you enjoy those moments? Is that a fun time with you and your children when they have to be disciplined? Of course not. But what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because when the child goes through a little bit of difficulty as a child, learns to have thicker skin, learns things the hard way, they become a lot better in life as adults. And you want your child to be an adult. So go take all of these issues, health and money and parenting, and go back to the beginning. Is it really, do you have a health problem? Well, yes, now you have a health problem. But really, you have a discipline problem. You have a financial problem, yes, but at the core, it's a discipline problem. Do you have problems at home and raising children? What's the issue? Well, because you don't want to do the discipline the way it should be done. So what is spiritual discipline? We're not talking about, somebody uses that phrase, and you think spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and things like that, that you do individually. We're talking tonight about the way the Hebrew writer brings it up, about God disciplining, it's hard to say, his children. Discipline is training. He even uses the word there about training in the passage we read just a moment ago, that he's training us in verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it. We're talking about discipline. Disciplining, what is God doing? He's training us. Just like a parent as does to a child, and that's the analogy the Hebrew writer uses. Our fathers disciplined us. Why would we not expect our Heavenly Father to do the same? It's pulling us away from sin. Doesn't a parent do that? Does a parent take a child and say, these are bad things to do? These will things hurt other people, they're going to hurt you, and avoid that. The discipline we receive from God is training us. It's pulling us away from sin. And sometimes the roots are deep, and it takes a while. Somebody becomes a Christian at 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old. They might have some pretty deep roots in certain things in their lives that need to be removed. Just like gardening, you go out and you see a weed that's this tall and you pull it right out of the ground. No big deal, small root, thin root. You look at a small tree that's bigger, taller, thicker, and say, it's going to take a while to get this out of the ground. Spiritually, it's the same. Somebody becomes a Christian and is deeply rooted in something they shouldn't be involved in for a long time. It's going to take a while for that change to take place, that real repentance. See, that's what spiritual discipline is. It's not punishment. This is a key distinction. And if you remember one thing from tonight, remember that when you're disciplined by God, he's not punishing you. He's not getting even. The punishment happened at the cross. Jesus took the punishment for sin. A lot of people they forget that. I think they know that, but they forget it when they're going through something in life. They say, God is punishing me. God decided today that he didn't like me anymore. And so I'm going through something that hurts, and that means he's getting even. I did something yesterday, and he's getting me back. You hear the phrase karma. Karma comes as kind of an Eastern religion philosophy. It's not biblical. Do something today and it comes back to you, you get bitten by it. Well, sin has consequences. We know that, of course. That's not how God operates. The punishment for sin took place at the cross. The fancy word, propitiation, Jesus became the whipping boy for our sins. That's when the punishment took place. It doesn't happen to us on a daily basis. It's not what discipline is from God. It's not punishment. Punishment happened back then at the cross. Discipline is parental. Verses 6 and 7 of what we read a moment ago. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Have you ever heard about children who did not grow up with fathers, good fathers? And they go through difficulties at school. They are disciplined a lot at school. They get in trouble a lot because they didn't get disciplined at home. They have a rough home life. And you'll hear stories about how hard a coach was on that teenager, how hard a teacher was on them. And that student always got in trouble. They were always in the principal's office and all this. And then when they're 30, 40 years old, all of a sudden that teenager in school, all of a sudden they revere that coach or that teacher. And they say, why? Because they cared enough to discipline them. It's in the end where that person turns around and says, I'm thankful somebody cared enough about me to help me grow up. That they invested their time in me, so now I have a better life because mom and dad didn't do it. And nobody else in my life wanted to do that, but this person did. And now I can see that it was good for me. Whereas in the moment when they're 14, 15 years old, that person's the enemy. They don't like them. They make me do things. They give me rules. They give me structure. I don't like that. They like it later. The Hebrew writer says the same thing. The discipline we have from God is parental. We may not like it in the moment, but we appreciate it later. We say, you know what? I went through this, and now I'm a little smarter. I know more about God. I know more about life. I can look at this person over here, and now I can help them. I can give them some of the things that I learned in this situation. But we know the discipline is also painful. In verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. It's painful. Even though things are good, some things are good for us that are painful, it doesn't mean we minimize the pain. We should never be in a position or situation where we look at somebody and say, get over it. Or how come you're not over it yet? Well, that wouldn't bother me if that happened to me. That's a really good way to have somebody to lose a friend. It's a really good way to lose somebody in the church. Just look at somebody and say, your feelings don't matter. This thing you're going through is no big deal. It's to minimize something somebody's going through is not Christian attitude to have. Just never minimize pain that anybody's experiencing, something they're going through. If it's not that big of a deal to you, then good. That's fine. Just never make somebody feel insignificant, like their feelings are insignificant, like they don't matter. When somebody's hurting, we should help. We weep with those who weep. we get in the boat with them. If they're rejoicing, we get in the boat with them in those moments too. We say we want to be there, we want to help. Discipline is very parental, the way the Hebrew writer explains it. It's also very painful. It's going to be painful. Nobody goes through life undefeated. We're all going to feel pain in some way or another. There are no exceptions. But it is purposeful. It is not arbitrary. It is not something that has no meaning. There is a purpose behind it. Verse 10, talking about their earthly fathers. The Hebrew writer says, "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them." I mean, fathers, they have a short window. The child is growing up. He said, they disciplined us as what seemed best to them. Parents do their best. Parents are not perfect. Parents, years later, look back and say, "I wish I would have done this differently," and so on. That's just being a human being. We don't do anything perfectly. Hebrew writer says, "They disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He, God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness." Holiness is not perfection. It doesn't mean moral perfection. God is holy in the sense He is completely separated from sin. Holiness for us is not going to mean moral perfection. It just simply means that separation we have as Christians from the world, the spiritual state that we're in. He says He disciplines us so that we can transform, we can mature, we can truly be separate in all the right ways. Not isolated from the world where we don't evangelize, but separated in how we think, separated in how we do things, separated in how we treat people, that we connect with His holiness. That is for our good. You all know Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Well, that's kind of a vague statement. Causes all things to work together for good. It doesn't give us point by point. Doesn't give us a timeline. Doesn't give us the day that He's going to do this and He's going to do that. But it just simply says God's going to take all the things that go on, all the painful moments, all the difficult times, and is going to bless us and work together for good. And even in things that may not work out exactly as we wish in this life, we know that the ultimate good that comes to us is the fact that we'll go to heaven. And all this is pointing, of course, to our ultimate destination. That is the ultimate good that God works out for us, and the Hebrew writer says the same here. How are we to respond to discipline? And how are we to take it? Well, you could resent it. You could resent discipline. Proverbs says don't do that. Don't ever resent to be disciplined. Don't ever push away something where somebody says, "Hey, here's an area of your life that needs to be done better." We should look at God and say, "You know, I want the easy path always. Don't ever let me have a bad day." Jesus never guaranteed that. Jesus never promised that. So why would you ask for that? We want God's will to be done in our lives, not telling God to do something He said He was never going to do. We could resent it bitterly. We could also accept it grudgingly, sort of like a child. A parent says, "Go say you're sorry to your brother or sister," and say, "Okay, I'm sorry." You don't mean it. The child doesn't mean it, of course. We could sort of, I don't want this, but yeah, I'm going to keep going to church and so on and so forth. Or the third possible response you could have to godly discipline is that you could embrace it willingly. Verse 9, rhetorical question. "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits?" Spirits meaning souls. "And live." you accepted discipline from your father. Your father said something, you said, yes, sir. Your father disciplined you, and you said, well, he's the guy that's got all the blessings in my life. He's the guy that pays for the house. He's the guy that pays for the car. He's the guy that gives me money to go watch the movie. He's got everything, so when he says something, I'm going to accept that. A child says that growing up. Maybe not out loud, but they think that. They understand that's the way things are. A Hebrew writer says, we accept the discipline from the fathers. But so why then would we not be subject? Why would we not accept, embrace, submit to God in heaven? Because he has all the blessings that come from us, for us, to us. James said, he gives us every good and perfect gift. If he made the world, if he made us, if he forgives our sins, if he does all of these things for us, why would we not look at him and say, I accept it. I understand it, and I accept what is going on. Discipline is not easy. Discipline is for our good. We lack discipline in many areas of society today. It's not talked about. We need to be disciplined in so many things in the world, but we also need to understand the discipline that comes from our Father in heaven. We need to be more disciplined spiritually. If we do these things, we'll grow up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 3:18 rather. We grow up. Grow in the grace. We're not stagnant in our faith. The only way we can grow up is to accept discipline. Hopefully tonight you're ready to accept the Lord in the sense of becoming a Christian if you haven't done that. Maybe it's something you've been talking about, thinking about, studying about, but you've never done it. And so you don't need to wait any longer. You need to say, tonight is tonight. There's another opportunity. We always set aside time in our service for you to make that decision, if that is what you need to do tonight. If you need prayers, if you need us to pray with you about something, we'd love to do that. Help you in any way that we can. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.